Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
You doing okay? Marvellous. Just move that around. Are you a bit warm?
Yes.
I'm glad it's not just me. I've had a great evening, actually. I managed to spill all the milk down my trousers when I arrived. So if I smell like yoghurt before you finish, I really apologise. It is all natural, though. It's natural yoghurt. And then Josh broke his guitar string. You have to unravel one of these. At your face, mate. Put it on there. It'll be all right. Brilliant. It's good to see so many people here tonight. You're having a good time?
Yes.
Excellent. This evening is kind of, we're rounding off a whole series that we've been running for the last 12 Sundays, I think, around walking with heroes. So I don't know how many of you have been to most of those, some of those.
Yep.
Some of those. And this really was, we kind of asked ourselves a question, and this is why I said earlier at the service that you can have your name written in a book tonight if you'd like to. Is that okay? Because part of being a Christian is that the Bible says that he writes into the air of our lives so that someone else can read it. So tonight we're going to have a look at how you and how I are the modern day heroes for society. So just certain a person next to you and say, I didn't know that. That you are a modern day hero. And I'm going to help some of you, if you think that you suddenly have to wear your pants outside your trousers like Superman, you don't have to do that. Unless you want to do that, in which case you're just weird, but you don't have to do that. All right, you don't have to do that. So we looked at all kinds of people from the Bible. These are people that are mentioned particularly in one book of the Bible called the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, which is known in a lot of churches as the Hall of Fame or the Heroes of Faith. And we pulled out various characters there, and we asked this question. If we could spend a day with one of these people, what would we want them to tell us about living by faith? So how many of you can remember some of these people that we looked at? Nehemiah. What was about Nehemiah that was really, that was good for you?
You didn't see even ask my second question.
That's the guy at the microphone? You don't. So I'm loud. Nehemiah. He did what?
He heard God and rebuilt the walls.
He heard God and rebuilt the walls. We were looking at how powerful it is to build your life inside the walls of God's presence. Yeah. Good one. Anybody else? Or have I put you all off now? David. What about David?
Even when he got it badly wrong, he recognised that he got it badly wrong and was really sorry for it.
Brilliant. David shows us that actually you need a really soft heart and a really hard head. If you get those mixed up, you're really in trouble.
Yes.
David shows us that actually he was really, really honest and open. When he'd blown it, he went to the God that he knew and he said, God, I've blown it. Can you help me? And God said, yes. But the key with David is that you have a soft heart and a hard head. But if you get those round the wrong way sometimes, we end up in trouble. Anybody else?
Noah.
Noah.
That is, despite circumstances, he still had faith and built his boat.
Brilliant. Noah is all about, if you remember, we were using Noah not just as a sound engineer story and a joke, which I always use. The sound engineer joke is this. Noah was the first person to go 1-2, 1-2. Okay, moving on, because you just don't get that. But Noah reminded us that your faith helps you design something that nobody else has done before. Nobody had a boat before Noah. He didn't know whether it was pointy at one end and blunt at the other or blunt both ends. He just believed God and trusted God, and suddenly there was a boat. But faith helps us to design the future for somebody else to get saved in. It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Another one.
Esther.
Preparation. You were good. That was really powerful, wasn't that message? That was one of the best ones. I'll tell you what, you've read the story, haven't you? You've read the Bible. Yeah, my wife brought this incredible message about Esther and the power of preparation. Preparation prepares you to take opportunity of your position. All of you in God have positioned somewhere. It might not be the somewhere that you want. It might not be the somewhere that you would choose. It might not be the somewhere that you would prefer. But as you prepare, God prepares you to take full advantage of the position that you're in. The grass is not greener on the other side. Okay, it isn't. Don't save up your money too much for a rainy day, because we've already had loads of rainy days, and your prince has already come. What we find from Esther is that preparing is a diligent thing, but it helps her to make the most of position. So Esther was a good one. Anybody else?
Joseph.
Who?
Joseph.
Joseph. Tell us about Joseph.
He went from being a hero to being a hero.
You've been copying me, haven't you?
God.
Awesome. Joseph was more than just a pretty coat or a well-tailored coat. Actually, is what that means. What that speaks to us about is that Joseph refused to let go of that which God had caught hold of him for. And the great thing about faith, and the great thing about the faith that we have, if you know Jesus, is it's a living faith. It's not faith in an object or an objective. It's not faith in a career or an ambition which can move. It's faith in a person. His name is Jesus, and he never changes. So Joseph speaks to us about, even when we find ourselves circumstantially the opposite to our dream, the one who gave us the dream is always with us. That's really good. Anything else? Anybody else want to have a pull some out? We've got a few left yet.
Moses.
Myrna, tell us about Moses. But not in Arabic, in English, that would be great.
He didn't trust in his own kind of education at the passing away, but he went for the calling of God.
It's brilliant, isn't it? Moses, I remember kind of talking about Moses. Moses started life as a basket case, do you remember that? Moses' life was a basket case. But then he was brought up in tremendous affluence and opulence and all kinds of things, and yet he knew inside his heart there was a greater destiny, the one that he was living in. Now he did one couple of stupid things. One was he took a life, and that probably wasn't smart, and he had to sort that out with God. But actually there was something in his heart which made him have to redeem his time. It made him have to redeem his culture and see it change to a more godly culture. He was the first person ever to meet a talking bush and not get sectioned for it. I mean, that's incredible. He actually met this bush, and they are real bushes. They're called cellulose bushes, and they just catch fire on their own out in the hot places. But very few of them talk to you, and very few of them know your name. So this shows us that Moses, he had something that God had put into his heart, and he never knew it was there until there was a crisis. And I don't know about you, I don't know about me, but actually everybody lives with some level of crisis. It's how we deal with crisis that determines the outcome. Everybody. Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble. But actually we've got to get over ourselves a little bit, like Moses did, and say, but you will overcome, because my faith has overcome. So Moses was a great example of that. Is a couple more?
Paul and Timothy.
Has anybody else, apart from Joe, been here? Because Joe's just... You're just a teacher's pet, aren't you?
I know, sorry. Okay.
Who?
I've brought an apple.
Does anybody like an apple? Because Joe will go and buy one if you'd like one. Paul and Timothy. Tell us about Paul and Timothy.
Mentoring.
Mentoring?
Yeah, Paul. Mentoring.
Yeah, okay.
Paul would tell us to go.
Yes. There's a lot of hand movements going on here. If you can't see it from over there, there's a lot of handing going on.
He took
Paul knew how to roll with the punches. He knew how to get shipwrecked and still laugh about it. He knew how to die and come back to life. That's quite a cool one. I think, what? You did. One of the things that I think we can learn from Paul is this, is that winners don't whine. They don't quit and they never give up. Actually, being a hero means that you just hold on 2 minutes longer than the person next to you. It means that a hero means that you've resolved in your heart that you are not going to whine, you're just going to win. And if you don't win the first time, you try again. If you don't win the second time, you try again. If you don't win the third time, you try again. That's what Paul would tell us. Yeah. What Paul would tell us is that to have an experience of religion puts us on the slow pathway. If you experience Jesus, it puts you on one of these travelators. You know the things at Gatwick? They're quite long. They're up over the overpass bridge thing. I think there's three. And you can all be walking at the same pace. But if you stand on the travelator, you cover twice as much ground at the same pace as everybody else. Have you noticed that? How many of you have tried running backwards against it? Apart from you, probably. I thought so. How many of you have tried running up the down escalator? Come on, my son works as security at Gatwick, so I know your name, Norton. I'm going to tell him all about you. The point is this, is your faith in Jesus puts your life on the travel escalator. And even though we can be taking short steps or long steps, because of this momentum of faith, we cover more distance than we would without Christ. In other words, we can get to where we need to go with less effort. Do you understand that? So I've understood from Paul and Timothy, there is a relationship there. Timothy, he had a generational inheritance. He said his grandmother was a Christian. She knew Jesus. She prayed for him. I bet there are people praying for you even now. And you may never know who they are, but our life is enriched as a result. And we can stand on this travelator of faith and we can end up in our destination with a lot less effort than when we're not on that travelator of faith. So faith is not about try, it's about trust. Is anybody getting any of this? That's a good one. Anybody else apart from Job can tell us another couple?
Joshua.
Sarah, tell us about Joshua.
He had a very courageous spirit.
Did he? Anything else? We're getting a Bible study tonight. Is that okay? Joshua and Jericho in the same sentence? That's brilliant. I think Joshua's quite an interesting character because what it shows us about Joshua is that we need to prepare our journey in the tent. Now, in those days, a tent was pretty a basic form. It was used in commonplace. But this wasn't just an ordinary tent. It was a tent where God wanted to go and visit. So if we want to develop our heroic life, we need to know how to build the tent so that we can meet with Jesus in it ourselves. For me, sometimes my tent looks like my car. Sometimes my tent looks like my office. Sometimes my tent looks like this space. Sometimes my tent looks like the journey that I'm out because I'm just there meeting with the Lord. Yep. But the point is that Joshua knew that you had to have an encounter experience with God before you could go and possess the land. So I suspect that as heroes, we all live in a land, don't we? We all live somewhere. Now that land isn't just called somewhere, it's called the place where you are. So on a map, you could find it. You could say, yes, I live here, but on God's map, he's put you there. We're not where we are because of mistakes, we're where we are because of purpose. And what Joshua shows us is that wherever you go out, if you keep the word in your heart and in your mouth, man, you possess the land that you walk in. Well, I think that's quite good. So you can be a hero just by going to the co-op. Let me tell you, the co-op needs heroes. So does Morrison's. Aldi, Asda, we're going to go through the whole lot, all right? We're not promoting them. But all of these places need a hero like you. Why? Because your whole dynamic was to buy one and set one free. Is that all right to say that? So Joshua teaches us, and actually we think Joshua did a great job, and actually kind of almost did. He didn't quite take hold of all the land that the Lord told him to have. He didn't quite kill every king, but he went through a few of them. But we find out that there's a connection between how he walked with Jesus, how he spent time in the presence of God, and how he walked in the land. I believe as a hero, you look in the land that you're given, and you look at it with an outlook of God can change this land. Is it all right to say that? Is it when you wake up tomorrow morning on a Monday, whatever your land looks like, whether it's a bungalow or an estate or a mansion, or whether you're just living out of a cardboard box, because let me tell you, if it's the same. Is that God says, I want to give you the land that you can see. In other words, it's not about the kind of land we're looking at, it's how we look at it. Hallelujah. You might think, oh, well, that's okay if you work full-time in the church. I do, but let me tell you, every morning I'm taking possession of something. I'm praying for somebody. I want to step into someone's life and begin to possess it for God. I want to step into someone's heartache and see them made whole. I want to step into someone's disease and see them set free. I want to step into someone's confused room and see God bring some restoration in there. It doesn't matter where you work. It's how you look at what you see. Makes you a hero. We got another couple. You're preaching this message. You're doing good. You're good. Good preaching tonight. Anybody else want to have a go? There's a couple more. Hey, come on. Oh, anybody over here want to have a go?
Gideon.
What does Gideon tell us? Does it? You are good. Remember Gideon? Sometimes people think he was hiding in the wine press. I think he was just being really smart. Because he was hiding stuff in there that shouldn't be there, and it shouldn't be there at that time. I think out of Gideon, it helps me, and hopefully this will help you to say, God's put something in you which might not be fully fruited yet, but there's a potential there. You just got to look after it. I think it reminds us that there is a whole world out there that wants to steal your joy if you know Jesus. He wants to steal your destiny if you know the Lord. He wants to make you think you can't have one. He wants to make you think you can't do it. He wants to make you think it's all about you and it's not all about him. Well, Gideon knew how to steward what God had put in his heart. So he hid barley in a wine press. Why? Because it was about destiny. It was about future. It was about purpose. And I think for you tonight, God's put something in you. It might not be a fully fruitful plant yet. It might be bearing some level of fruit now, but the best is yet to come. As you begin to walk in the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, and as you begin to guard it through prayer and begin to speak over it through your faith, man, it's going to produce it in a 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit. Hallelujah. Not only for you to eat and taste and see that God is good, but for others to do the same. Is there anybody else want to have a go? I did a lady. Do you remember who that was?
Ruth.
Well done. Were you here?
Yeah, that's the only time I've been.
Well, was it that bad? I'm glad you came back. Not talking about what puts over the top of your house, not that kind of Ruth. We're talking about a Ruth that shows us that heroes are always born on the wrong side of the track. A hero always starts life in the wrong place, with the wrong family, with the wrong culture. But as soon as they begin to engage with destiny, God changes that. Ruth should not have been in the Bible at all, let alone be David's grandmother. But faith shows us that it doesn't matter where you come from, doesn't matter what your education's been or not been, doesn't matter what you carry in terms of your heart and your desires. You engage with Jesus and your future is changed. Your destiny is transformed. Hallelujah. You become part of a family that you were never born into. I think that's exciting. I think that's cool. Have we almost done them? Nehemiah. Talk to me. I thought we'd done Nehemiah. No, it was another one. Yeah, but we've already mentioned Nehemiah. You might have been asleep then. Okay. Abraham. That was the only other one. And Isaac.
And Daniel.
You did Daniel. That was amazing. Who wants to tell us something about Daniel? Andrew, can you remember what you spoke about, Daniel?
Yeah, and Daniel was colossally faithful. You know, one thing I didn't say at the time was he said, winners don't whine. There's nothing about the trouble he went through. There's only about the moments when God used him, which are spaced out. He was faithful all the way through, right the way through to that lion's den. Extraordinary man.
It's something for you who are potential heroes. You're flourishing, about to produce a heroic deed. There are all kinds of lions out there. There are all kinds of things that appear massive. But let me tell you, there's a greater line inside of you What I love about Daniel is he was the biggest lion in the den. Man, I tell you, when he was in there, everything else went shush. But when Daniel was in that lion's den, there were four lions in there. He was the biggest, the strongest. His influence, you can have this piece of information for free, Israel. Most lions kill their prey through a heart attack, not by biting them. Because over the savannah, over the land, when a lion roars, everything in the food, whatever, what's it called? You are brilliant, clever people. They hear it, and some of them just die. Or they're just so paralyzed that this lion doesn't have to run. He just comes up there. Go. Don't be dissuaded by the sound out in the world that you live in. Don't be put off by the noises that maybe your circumstances are making you, because they'll be doing something. Don't be put off by the fact that your plus is not as big as your minus is. Don't be put off by the fact that everybody just hates you, and it's like, whoa. Come on, because there's a line inside of you that roars a roar, which everybody hears, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. The Bible says that there is an enemy who looks like a roaring lion. It's actually a pussycat with no teeth. You might be having a bit of a funny thing going on in your workplace. It's like, oh, they're making people redundant. Maybe there's no work. Well, let me tell you, there's a roarer inside of you which is greater than the roarer outside. It might be that you're of an age where maybe your parents had this condition in their body when they were your age. Maybe you have friends that have that condition in your age. And it's just roaring. Well, begin to arise as a hero and say, I'm not having that. That is not me. My destiny is not that. Inside you is a Daniel spirit. Ooh. Is this all right? You're doing some good preaching. I tell you what, I'm amazed. I think I was going to give you all the microphone. Going back to this book that we got all these heroes from, Hebrews chapter 11. It speaks about all these heroes and many, many others, the Rahabs and Japhets and all these other odd people. But it goes on near the end and says that all these things lived and died with a promise. But pretty much 100% of them never lived in the full promise. Why? Because they were waiting for you to appear in the book. This is the bit about... Naomi, you okay? Okay. This is a bit about you being written in the book. This, find Hebrews 11. Claire, you're awake. Excellent. Claire's going to find Hebrews 11 for us, and it's going to appear up behind me, as if by technology. Hebrews 11, if you don't know it, it's quite a good piece of the Bible. It speaks about faith and when you need it. And the first word in Hebrews 11 verse 1 is now. You don't need faith yesterday. And actually, you don't need faith tomorrow. You need it now. Now. It's a really short word, but it's Hebrews 11 verse 1 says now. But as you go through that whole chapter, and I'm sure many of you have, it may be that you haven't, so if you want to do that in the time, that would be great. It says in verse 39, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Verse 40, for God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us. See, I think all these individuals in Hebrews 11, if you put them all in a big pot and mix them up, you'd end up with Jesus coming out. If you put all these men, women that just did what God said and just followed God and held on to God, if you put them all into a big casserole and stirred them up, what you'd end up is Jesus. Because Jesus hadn't been revealed, they had to just live in the best that they could with the best that they knew how to. And yet it says here at the end of Hebrews that these heroes of faith were waiting for you and me. So today in 2014... July the 20th, whatever the time is, let's say it's 10 to 7, it's about that time, I suspect. You are the hero of faith today. Mm. Thanks for that. How do I know that that's true? Would you like to know why I know that's true?
Yeah.
You don't have to. I can come back in 2 weeks' time. Reminds me of which, if you really, really think you're going to miss being at Kingdom Faith next Sunday, drive up to Peterborough. All right, I have done it 4 times in a day, several times. It's not that how. The biggest thing about mileage is it up here. Most of us have got a car or there's a train. All right, but if you can make it on the 27th of July up in Peterborough, you'll be very welcome. You would have an amazing time. You would have an amazing time. What was I just going to say? What? Okay. Why Your Heroes is this. We haven't got something going in the whole Bible there, but if you look at how Jesus was kind of started his ministry, certain things happened to him. He was born. Have you been born? Okay, so, okay, thank you, Jesus. Then, we've been born. If you're not sure, then check your pulse. If you can't find one, we will raise you up. Oh, hallelujah. He was born, you're born, right? His appearance was like a man. Okay, I know only half of the people in the room that would be true for, but that means humanity, not just man, all right? So, we don't look like some kind of weird-looking thing. Well, we don't, okay? We don't, we look like people. So we were born and we look like people. So now we qualify twice. But it goes about Jesus. It says in Matthew chapter 3, about verse 11 or something, it says that Joseph was going from one place to another and he found a river. Next to that river was a bloke called John. So all of us somewhere are going from place to place. We're all going from this day to another day, from this journey to that journey, from here to here. We've just prayed for a whole bunch of people that are on a journey. But the people that have prayed for them are on a journey. So we're all on a journey, right? So we've all been born, we all look like kind of people, and we're all on a journey. And it says that this Jesus met this bloke John, and this bloke John baptized this Jesus. And as he came up out of the water, certain things happened. The first thing was heaven was opened, the Bible says. Can I just suggest to you that all these heroes knew that they had access to God, not the God that they could see, but the one that they couldn't, but they still believed in him anyway. Is that true for anybody in the room? Right, so we now have a relationship with God, which is even more than they had, because it says heaven is now open. These guys just did the best that they could with who they knew. As a Christian today, man, you know God. God knows you. That's powerful. Then it goes on and it says, and a voice was heard. And I believe all these heroes heard the word of God. But lots of people in the Bible heard the word of God, but not all of them were heroes. Why? Because some of them didn't do anything with it. It says that there was a voice heard when Jesus came up out of the water, and it said this. It says, this is my son. I think this is another clue for people like you and me, is that when you give your life to Jesus, you become God's possession. And he loves that. It gives us a new identity, and it gives us a reason for living. Then it goes on and says, whom I love. And I think these heroes all experienced the love of God in some degree or another. I think it was the love for God, even if it wasn't just the love of God, that made them do what God asked them to do. Why build a boat in a desert? It's not rained for 400 years. Because they love God enough to do that. And I think there are people here today that you love God enough to do that. Would that be okay to say that? Three of us, me and Laura. Anybody else? Anybody else over here? Love God enough to do the last thing he said. All right, because heroes of faith don't just hear the word of God, they do something with it. Heroes of faith don't just read the Bible, they respond to the Bible. Heroes of faith don't just build a tent and let's say, bless me, bless me, bless me. They say, bless me so that I can go and bless somebody else. And then the last thing that it says that this voice said everybody heard at the time was, and I approve of you. I think that for me is a clincher. What does that mean? It means that when you give your life to Jesus, right from the beginning, you're going to make it. As soon as you give your life to Jesus, he's going to get you through it. Whatever your field looks like, whatever the sound sounds like, whatever the crisis looks like, whatever you appear to be like when you look at the mirror of life in the beginning of the day, woohoo, and all of us can freak out on that one. We can go to bed really, really happy and wake up, not so. And then the mirror just confirms our dread. Man, I look horrible. So here's some things here. Our relationship with Jesus qualifies the heroic. It says in Daniel 11:32 that those who know their God are strong and will do great exploits. Yeah. Second thing is, if you've got a willing heart, you'll never have to be ready. You'll never be ready to be a hero. You just have to be willing to do what Jesus says.
Yeah.
Don't just read the Marvel comics and say, oh, I'm not like Captain America. You don't have to be. Or I'm not green and change colour. You don't have to. You just have to do the last thing God tells you to do. And then third thing is we want to live totally filled and dependent on the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus did. There's a scripture in 2 Corinthians, which Claire's also found, haven't you, Claire? She's finding it now. I'll just talk a minute. It says this. We're just going to close with this, then we're going to respond, because this is fun. Jesus was baptized, heaven was opened, heard a voice, this is what the voice said, and then it says that the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus. And Jesus operated as a hero. A hero to the prostitutes and the sinners and the homeless and the desperate. He became their hero. And people followed him. When he died, he became heroic over time and space. And mankind can now follow him. Even now he reigns over all things. And the whole of heaven can now worship him. You understand that? His whole heroic deeds just got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And we got swept on. But it says here in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 13. This is interesting. This will blow your fuses. It is written, with the same spirit of faith, I also believe. What does that mean? The same ability that Jesus had to believe everything that God said, you have it. Thanks for that. The same spirit that came upon Jesus in Matthew 3 that believed everything, that just considered the noble, considered the true, considered the pure. It says that about in Philippians, right? That same faith, that same ability to believe beyond your circumstances and feelings, you have that same spirit. It's not less, it's not different, it's not a contemporary, it's the same spirit. It's the same spirit of faith that I also believe and therefore speak. How do I know it's true? Because I know Jesus and I've given my life to him. So the very fact that I know Jesus means this must be true. I have the same spirit of faith that Jesus had, which is why I can believe like Jesus did. And if you know Jesus tonight, you must have the same spirit, because that's what makes an unbeliever a believer. We don't believe in something, we believe in somebody. We don't believe in some journey, we believe in the one taking us on the journey. So in Ephesians it says that we have received this faith as a gift. So you are the hero in the world that you live in. You are the hero within your family group. You are the hero within your workplace environment. You are the hero on the street that you live in. You are the hero in that people group that you're put in. You're not there by mistake. You're not there by accident. God doesn't do things by mistake, and God has never created an accident in his life. You can't. You're there because you're a hero to someone. You're there because you're a book that someone else is going to read. You're there because you're a picture of the invisible God made visible. But stop trying, start trusting. You can't try and be a hero. Just do the last thing Jesus said. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you do it, and you will become heroic. You'll become meteoric. Meteoric, is that a word?
Meteoric.
Glad Andrew here, because he's good with words. You will become, says in Peter, a shining star as you hold forth the worth of life. Let's all stand up, shall we? Man, it's such a privilege for us to be in the company of heroes. That's what you are. That's not what I've said you are. That's what we're kind of working out we are. Do we feel like heroes? Don't think that's relevant. Do we look like heroes? I don't think that makes any difference whatsoever. Can we do something heroic? Don't know, try it. Just do the last thing God told you to do. See what happens. That's what a hero does. Just close their eyes together. It all goes dark. I don't know how many of you want to live a heroic life. But there's a problem there. God didn't save us to give us an option not to. He didn't say, well, live for me if you want, and if you don't want to, it's fine. He said, no, when you give your life to me, your life belongs to me. And I'm going to make you a hero in this day, that place, with this people, that people. All we need to do is respond and say, yes, I'm willing. Use me, Lord. Holy Spirit, use me. I'm willing. I'll never be ready, but I am willing. I'm willing to be a hero for somebody. But let God decide what that looks like. How that is. Well, I can guarantee this. Your faith will make you a design architect. You'll just live a life that's different from the people around you. Your life will make you the one that rules and silences all the lies of the enemy. Your faith will prepare you to make opportunity the position God's put you in. Your faith will make you the one who lives within the walls of God's presence and brings other people in. Your faith will make you make such a preparation that you use the position that God's put you in. I know that God will do this because it's the same faith. It's the same spirit. I know that it's the same spirit that will cause you to see people rescued and their destinies fixed in God's heart. I know that God will use you to bring people who were just born in the wrong side of town. It wasn't their fault. It's got nothing to do with them. It's just how it is. But your faith will bring them into the right side of town, which is a relationship with Jesus. I know that you've got, for some of you, you've got destinies, you've got plans and purposes in your heart that God has entrusted into you. And it might be that you're not using them yet. You might think, oh, well, I'm just going to keep them safe. Have a go. Step out. Okay, Peter got wet, but at least he got out of the boat. He actually walked twice. He walked out and he walked back. I think that's good. That's twice as far as I've done. That's right. But I'm going to have a go. If you, in your heart, I don't know what's going on. I know a few people, you just kind of, okay, you have to go and process this. That's absolutely fine. But here's the challenge. I know we're slightly over time. I apologize, but we just need to do this one thing. If you really, in your heart, as much as you can, want to do some great exploits for God. One is, you can, because you know God. The second thing is this. You need to put yourself in a situation where you need to see a great exploit. You just need to see it. And if you're willing to stop trying and start trusting in a new way, I'd love you to come out of where you're standing and just come out the front and join me. Because I believe tonight it's not just about one hero, it's about a company of heroes. And the Bible speaks about there's a dynamic, there's just something that happens. If you want to be smart, spend time with smart people. It's a proverb. If you want to be a bit more bold, spend time with people, not bold, okay, spend time with people who are a bit more bold. If you want to be a bit more of a hero, spend time with other people that are just a bit of a hero. So there's something about being a band of brothers, if I can put it that way. Is that okay? And it's supposed to be. Jesus has put us in a body. And if one of us doesn't feel very heroic, somebody else will. Somebody else will come and encourage us. Somebody else will come and pray with us. Somebody else will just come and support us. Do you understand that? So here, there's a band of brothers. There's a hero spirit in this house. You may not look like Caleb, you might not sound like Joshua, but the only thing that made them different was this. One, they had a different spirit, and you have a different spirit. Right. And the other one was they willingly served the Lord. Yes. How many of you do that? Yep. Well, that's it then. Then that, in that case, you're beginning to move like a Caleb and like a Joshua, which means you can guarantee certain things will happen. A, you will possess the land, and B, you will get a city as an inheritance. That's it. 10 people went out, 8 people came back with a different story than the other two, but the 2 got it, the 8 never got it. Yes. So don't believe the story. Listen to what God's speaking to you. You're the book. You're the testimony. Every test can be a testimony. Every mess can be a message. Yeah. Father, I want to thank you. Let's just lift up our hands. Then we can all be really sweaty together. Hallelujah. That would be brilliant. Except ladies perspire, don't they? That's a bit rude. But ladies perspire. Father, I just want to thank you right now for just a band of heroes. Father, you've picked us up. You've plucked us out of life. You've accosted us on our journey. And you've put us onto this travelator of faith. I thank you that spirit of faith is within us that causes us to step into the supernatural realm. It causes us to hang on when everybody else has let go. It causes us to keep going when everybody else has stopped going. It causes us to look up when others might be looking down. It causes us to speak that word when other people are just quarreling or gossiping. It causes us to arise on the inside where maybe other people are feeling just a bit crushed and let down. I thank you that spirit of faith creates opportunities where there may not be opportunities. It creates expectation where there may be none at all. I thank you that spirit of faith connects us with the creator of the heavens and the earth where all things are possible. Thank you that this travelator of faith, the impossible is possible. I thank you that your word says that without faith it's impossible to please God. But we're not without faith in this room. So I want to thank you lastly that tonight we can please you. And we can live a life that pleases you. As we live by faith and not by sight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This is a turning point. We in the prayer that God was saying, the old is gone. The old has gone. Stop trying. Stop trying to be God. Let God be God. Stop trying to follow regime. Follow the Holy Spirit. Follow the Holy Ghost. Jesus, the last thing that he said on earth before he went up on the cross, this was, it is finished. It's finished. A bit like this evening, it's finished. Just turn to the person next to you and just say, I'm so glad that I'm a hero with you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.